very much. It's been a great pleasure to be able to meet Roger and Cheryl, and we were here a few weeks ago and visiting for an evening service, so that's great. We're loving being in Raglan. So thank you very much for having us. Usually Don and I will actually minister together, or quite often these days. But he's lying low writing his book, and so I get to play. So tonight is all about fun for me. It's not meant to be too serious.
It's going to be your wife. Now, fortunately, he didn't come and tell me that the same day, but he did. He did come and check me out the next night. And
the rest is history. We've led two churches, one in Auckland for 16 years on the North Shore. For the last 5 years, we were in Taupo, and we actually handed over that church to new leaders in December, because God had been speaking to us for a number of months about making ourselves available to the body of Christ. And the deal was, Don said, I really want to write this book. So we said, where can we find that Helen can have some people contact and Don can write the book? And we have a friend who owns a house here at the Bat. So that's why we get to come. We love it so much. We think, well, this would be a good home base. We don't think we'll be going back to Taupo. We don't know. We're on this glorious adventure. And that's part of what I want to speak to you about tonight, is glorious adventures that we get to make with God because of our ability to grow in trust and to hear him speak to us. So I want to talk to you about building a powerful devotional life. It's not boring. It's like it's meant to be an expression of our incredible walk with Jesus. My journey was that like I didn't know how much I loved adventure and I need change and don't do boring very well. It's like it's part of my personality type that I don't like to be told what to do. So to be told, you know, this is how you have a quiet time, didn't really work for me. And I'm wondering why my iPad is logging out on me. It's meant to be set for staying up permanently. I came to the point where Don and I were leading a church and I had young kids and it was all pretty hard work. We took a sabbatical in the States and I poured my heart out to this amazing Christian writer and said, what can I do about my up and down relationship with Jesus? And she said two things to me. She said, one, you need to learn how to journal, scripture-based journaling, and two, you need to make it the most important thing in your day. So I set about what would that look like for me, and have found the most amazing power in scripture-based journaling. It's walked me out of fear and insecurity, independence, stubborn resistance. Just ask my husband, who is a real adventurer. But it's helped me walk from being passive to powerful in my life and become effective in the call of God and my husband's, to the point that we've rented our house out. We have no home at the moment, and I'm having a wonderful time. This is me. I used to be a homebody. You know, Jesus wants to speak to you. We get this thing that it's hard to hear the voice of God, but Jesus wants to speak to you. His word says in John 10, verse 10, my sheep hear my voice. But we need to learn how to listen to his voice. Really, the truths that I'm going to be teaching you about tonight are all listed in here. We've got some, if you'd like to purchase one tonight, you're really welcome to. Oh, and we've got some other resources as well. I'll just tell you about it if you'd like to have a look at. Don was ordained as a prophet when he was in his early 20s. We were part of the Acts movement, and in those days they used to set apart prophets as the ones that had that special ability to hear from God. Of course, he really needs to hear from me quite often as well. life's all about fun, isn't it? This is a great resource for recording the prophetic words God gives you that we can use like arrows against the enemy to remind him of the call on our lives. And it's really powerful.
forgot to mention these, sorry. This is a great resource as well too. It's a workbook that you can work through to help you work out what combination of spiritual gifts and personality and natural talents you have and how they come together to form an amazing personal ministry gift. So they're at the back if you would like to have a look at them. But
word down, shape. S-H-A-P-E. Through it fairly quickly because I want to get to the bit that I really love to speak about. Shape. The key thing about building a devotional time with Jesus is that, one, we've got to make it fun and something that we really want to engage in. Two, I feel like the power of journaling and the power of a devotional life comes when we engage with the Word of God. It's got incredible power in it, and it has the power to transform our life. Hebrews says that the Word of God is alive and active, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It has the ability to penetrate to where soul and spirit meet, right down to the marrow. So it's alive and active. If we get it in our hearts, it will transform us. But we've got to go beyond the we've got to go beyond dusty scripture to the living, active Word of God. So when you go to have your journaling time, I would encourage you, go expectantly, first up. Secondly, write the date of what your day is today. It's really great to have this as a history. And then write down, I actually write down in longhand the scripture that I am spending time reflecting on. Now, you don't have to do that, but there's something about recording what God says to you as you spend time in Scripture. Give God something to work with. So I write down, at the moment I'm working through the book of Mark, and I tend to do it one, I take a story at a time. That's the way it's working for me. Now, Don can get stuck on one word, but then he's different. It really doesn't matter. It's finding something that works with you. To be honest, God can speak to you however he wants to, but you've got to give him something to work with. Secondly, write down the H means hear. What does it mean? What do you hear? What do you observe in that scripture? So if we could have the next slide, that would be great. Is it? Oh, wonderful, thank you. Here, what does it mean? What is there to learn? And when I journal, I read it like an observer. What was the writer trying to say in that passage? What's the truth that I can learn and extract from that? The next one is apply. Now, if you fall over and if you cut yourself, if you have a tree fall on you and you go to the doctor, then you need to have a dressing put on it, but it's not much good if you just wave it around, is it? You've actually got to apply it to the wound on your leg or wherever it is. Look, it's the same with the Word of God. When I used to just read the Bible because I was told that's what you have to do as a nice Christian, then I'd read a bit and then go away. But no reflection, no thinking, I wonder what this might mean for my life. The power comes when you apply it. Because what happens is you start to see where you don't line up with what the Word of God says about you or about your situation. We get truth coaches starting to come out of Scripture. David Riddell, a well-known counsellor in New Zealand, has this phrase, "Deal with the lie and the fear will die." We've got to find the lies in our lives that we're believing and align ourselves with what God says to walk, identify our wrong feelings and walk wrong thinking and walk out of our problems. And we need to make it ours. So for me, I started to find that as I tried to put what this word was in my own in my language, that it became real to me and it became really powerful. You will find that. P is for pray. Prayer is always good, isn't it? But do we actually pray about what we're reading in the Word? God, please would you apply that to my life? Please would you make it meaningful for me? E is for expect. Be expectant. Take what you've read in your journaling time and take it out expecting that somehow God is going to use it in you. And, you know, this, it seems really simple, but it's very powerful. I think it took me a long time to realize that actually God was using my journaling times and my times with him to set me up for success. One day I was journaling about inheritance and the fact that one day when my mum passed away that I would inherit her jewellery and what that was like and what that meant. The next day my mother passed away. And God had already prepared me in advance. I might have thought about that, but I suspect I wouldn't have grasped it, and I didn't have it written. I wouldn't have had it written down as I did. And when I realized that, I thought, God knew this was going to happen. I've had that happen so many times, sometimes with funny things, and I'll come back to that in a minute. So when you've done that, I suggest that you give your journaling time a title. Actually, something that sums it up, like captivated by grace or something funky that catches for you. You know, so stoked to be here, or just something that is in your language that captures the thought, because it'll be, if you're like me and you're bearer of a very simple brain, then a simple phrase that you can take away with will help you. Sometimes you might get one-liners. Well, you know, we're told that anyone who's a leader in the church is good for them to journal. That's where you get all your messages from. So put a date and a title. I index mine, and actually with the time that I have, I'm going through them and extracting the truth. I've got some R's that you can write down if you want to look at it another way. It's about reading, reflecting, and recording what God says to you. And then we need to respond. It needs to be regular. And I would encourage you to review them. I think it's better to have 5 minutes a day that you start with if you've not been doing this, and then build up from there as you find that God uses it, than try and have a once a year cleanup. Yeah? You know, what we're doing is we're building belief, we're becoming a follower, we're building a bank of biblical knowledge, and we're becoming well-equipped for God to be able to use us. Now, I'm not going to look this up because of time. I want to get on to some other things. But you know the story about the wise man and the foolish man? And the wise man built his house on the rock. Some of us learnt that song in Sunday school. The foolish man built his house on sand. Well, I encourage you, go and read that scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 7. That's one of the places where you will find it listed. The only difference between the wise man and the foolish man was that the wise man not only heard, but he obeyed. The foolish man also heard, but he didn't obey. And the key there is that we must hear what God is saying to us, but then we've got to obey. And sometimes that's a challenge, especially if you're like me, as I said, and I don't like to be told what to do. So we've got to develop our listening ears and get them tuned in. If I could have my little rope. Now, I can guarantee you, if you commit to this process and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make it the most important thing that I do each day. Pick the best time when you're fresh. Like, I'm a morning person, so I get up early and I get myself all set up. I have 2 cups of tea and a coffee before 10 o'clock. But if I haven't got much time, I don't take a lot of time. But if I don't even manage to do it in the morning, I don't beat myself up. But I might get into bed and say, what could my day have been like if I'd spent my time with my Bible and my journal? What could my day have been like? And so then I'll try and take time before I go to sleep. I reckon that walking out of condemnation is pretty important. But if you do that, it will build some incredible things into your life. Now, this is my rope. And this rope is like my what happens when I spend time with God. Amazing rope, hey? Just pretend it's a great big tow rope. It's like this part is my life that's been through grief. Here's a thread here that's just filled with joy at the things. I've got two grandchildren. They bring me great joy and some of the experiences I've had with them. This was the time when we took a break from ministry and I thought maybe we were done with ministry. Oh, this was the time that Don took our sailboat out to Rangitoto Island and I thought he might never come back. And I went, God, how can you help me? Oh, and this experience here was when I made a new friend in Turkey. And oh, I went on a missions trip to Turkey. Our lives become woven together as we bring all those bits together. And I want to read to you something from my book, which I've just given away. Mark, could I borrow? Another lady that discovered the power of this wrote this. Years ago, I discovered that I could hold on to God through pen and paper. It was my mum's suggestion to me when I was a young mother of two, struggling to stay a few steps ahead of despair. And she talks about having written just verses on scraps of paper, carrying them around in her pocket or stuffing them in a cup holder, and memorizing them when she had a moment. And then she wrote them down in a notebook and played with them, writing and rewriting them, squeezing every ounce of truth and meaning out of them. Now, looking back over nearly 30 years, I can see that this has been my means of holding on to truth and leaving markers that will stand as monuments to God's goodness, love, and faithfulness. She goes on to make this profound statement, I have been tracking grace. And I could tell you, I could pull my 50-something journals out tonight and say, look, this year I walked through this and it's all recorded here. I've got the recording of how I came to Christ because I wrote it down in something. One of the first times that I realized God was speaking to me when he dropped a scripture into my mind. And it was the scripture reference and I looked it up. And it was a scripture and it said, hide me in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. And he did that and I was going through a disaster and I knew that I was about to face disaster because of that scripture and it gave me strength to walk through it. God will give you protection. He will warn you. He will cause all things to work together for good and he really will. I know people that struggle with bitterness because they can't let go of disappointments. And I say, thank you, God, that you have given me journaling as a way of processing pain, but also celebrating the good times. There's a great scripture, Psalm 84, verses 5 to 7, that talk about how God goes on a journey with us. We track God. So the next scripture, the Mrs. Lady on the computer, that would be really great. So we've got tracks. T is for tracks, our walk with God. R is for revelation. And this is where the power really comes. Because what happens when we play with scripture and we get truth out of it, we take time to explore what is happening, is actually what we're doing is God is revealing truth to us. And truth is incredibly powerful. I'm going to give you another comment here. What I stumbled on is this. Revelation is actually released by scripture-based journaling, commenting on scripture and applying what we've just discovered to ourselves. It also captures God's words spoken to and into our lives and holds them there instead of disregarding them due to unbelief. As we review our journal, we can discover themes that highlight this as well. So it captures something very powerful. And it's really, really good. Oh, God. God speaks to us mysteries as we take time to listen to him. He really does. And he gives us treasure. And as we do it, we speak truth to ourselves and we write out scripture and play with it. We use our imagination and we put ourselves in that situation. And it's so much fun. I was in Turkey one time and let me see what the... Did I write it down? Yes, Psalm 84, verse 10. I was journaling. That was my scripture, Psalm 84. I was writing it down. But before I did it, I was reflecting on the fact that I had been invited by my friends to go to Greece for the day. Now, how many people think that if you're visiting Turkey and somebody invites you to go to Greece, that yes, of course the answer is yes. But for some reason, I said to them, you know what? I'll get back to you. I just want to have a think about it because I just felt a hesitation and I went to my time with God that day and I said, God, I just need you to show me whether this is going to be really good, if this is going to be helpful for me. My scripture that day, one day spent in your house, this beautiful place of worship beats thousands on Greek island beaches. That's what the scripture says in the message. The next slide reveals truth. I haven't got the scripture up there, but it actually literally said one day, you know that scripture, one day in your courts is better than a thousand? Well, it's literally, I heard God speak to me, no, I don't want you to go to Greece on that day. And one day in your courts is better than a thousand on Greek island beaches. I just thought that was so cool. Revelation is as natural as breathing for the Christian, and we get comfortable with it. You know, as we tune our ears to this, we learn to hear Jesus whisper coming through to us. And so that we can be walking down the street and you hear that same whisper that you've heard as you've been writing and the thoughts have been coming. And God has used this in my life and in many people I know. But if we don't have somebody to teach this to us when we become getting started as a Christian, you don't realize that actually it's the whole foundation that your life is built on. We've had leaders in our movement that have said, if a leader falls morally, then you can just about guarantee that they have stopped connecting with God on a daily kind of life-giving basis. The next thing that it does, A, is for access. It accesses our heart and emotions. Andy Stanley, who's written some great books, says this, like a doctor whose skilled hands poke and probe until they find a sensitive spot, so God's truth has a way of finding its mark. But none of that can happen until you give God access to those sensitive, otherwise off-limit areas of your life. Who has those? If you do, what may begin as a threatening and uncomfortable revelation may result in a freedom you never knew existed. It's a little bit like meet the teacher, but we get to meet the Holy Spirit. And he is able to alert us. Where am I resisting? Where am I resisting the Holy Spirit? What do I need to process? What do I need to walk out of? Gives us space for decisions, to celebrate victories, ask questions. I use my journal a lot to ask questions. It gives me language for what I'm going through. Smith Wigglesworth once said, if you want to increase in the life of God, you must settle in your heart. You will not at any time resist the Holy Spirit. I call it settling the ownership issue. but I've heard the Holy Spirit alert me to where I've needed to change and when I've needed to come into alignment so many times. C is for calls out our uniqueness and our creativity. We're all incredibly unique, and I think sometimes we don't give ourselves enough room to express that. I think that journaling helps to do that because we explore stuff in our imagination when we're mind mapping or drawing or doodling, or whether you just write down your scripture and you hear God speak to you. He speaks to your uniqueness and he calls it out, which leads to the next one, which is K, keeps you courageous. How many know that we need courage to be able to hold on to God? I think if I hadn't had courage in the times that God was at work in me and at times stripping me bare, I'm not sure that I'd be able to do what I'm doing now. You know, that when Peter went to Jesus on the water, it wasn't faith without fear. They both coexisted. He had to choose which one he was going to walk with. Courage is the conquering of fear by faith. Journaling has helped me to do that. One week I was journaling about, I was writing about Jesus going through the storm and walking on water and getting into the boat. And I found myself writing, trouble does not mean devastation. I just was writing that down, going, the disciples saw the facts. The facts were that the boat was sinking. Their conclusion was, we're going to drown. And I found myself writing that down. Do you know, the very next day, within that week, Don was away from home. He lost his glasses. Our eldest son crashed one of our cars, and we were living by faith. We were doing a renovation, and the final inspection failed. The painter walked off the job. And there was a whole bunch of it. Oh, and we had a teenager that was in crisis and making our life just. And I looked back at that journaling time and it gave me courage. When I saw what I'd written down, I can do this. I'm not going to fall over this week. I can hold on to God. It will release courage. And finally, S is it will sustain your call. Which really is related, isn't it? Will sustain you and it will sustain your call when times are tough. Yeah. Our dreams are always bigger than we are. And you know, transformation doesn't happen in a day, but it happens daily. Transformation does not happen in a day, but it happens daily. And you know, like, this might not be the most exciting message you've heard all year, but I can guarantee you the teaching of this can change your life. It will lead you into places you never thought possible. The call on your life, you with the hair back, yeah, our drummer, you're Mr. Drummer, aren't you? The call on your life is going to get walked out as you commit yourself to the daily seeking of Him. The challenge that is in you to stand up and overcome some insecurities that you have or things that you didn't think were possible will happen as you call out the courage on a daily basis. The dreams that are in our lives have to be fulfilled by us taking risks, and that comes with faith. And faith is built as we commit ourselves to be able to do this. You know, your revelation will carry you anywhere. And there's a great scripture that I want to finish with tonight because our time is really done. Mark's chapter 6, verse 9 in the Message. I love the Message. It's so creative and different, and sometimes you've just got to change things, eh, and spice things up a bit. Jesus is speaking to the disciples and he sends them out two by two. And he says to them, don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for this. You are the equipment. And I want to encourage you that that you have whatever it takes to fulfill the call of God on your life. You can walk out of obscurity into anything that God wants you to do. Father, I thank you for your word that is so powerful. And all we need is a seed in us that will grow to be like an amazing tree. I thank you, Lord, for the seeds that have been dropped into hearts here of destiny, of call, of courage, that we get to walk out, Lord, just by simple obedience and you putting courage into our hearts. We want to hear your whispers. We want to be able to obey you when you speak to us. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every one here that, Lord, whether they're 3 years old or 90, that God, you would release a fresh decision to walk every day with you. and to walk out that destiny because, Lord, you're bringing amazing things on our nation and we want to be ready. Amen? Hallelujah. Hey, I just have got, just as we finish, I've got one word that I feel like I'm carrying for somebody, and it is simply this. Is there anyone here that that the word that windmills are significant for? Did anyone grow up with a fascination for windmills? You did? You are thinking about windmills. And so is it just you here from your family? Okay, that's cool. So this is your husband? Okay. So did you have anything to do with windmills when you were little? Okay, that's cool. But the sense that I have is that... that even as you look at windmills, you know, I just saw somebody looking up at windmills and spending a lot of time reflecting on them. God gave me this, that you're in a process of, you're in a ministry of reclamation. Even as windmills in Holland, they reclaim the land. They do the impossible. God is calling you guys to do some impossible things and impossible things in the lives of other people. And that as you trust him, that he's going to lead you into places that you would have never thought possible. Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Helen.